All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is a song about a guy you might remember from high school. Or you might be this guy from high school, I don't know. My little harmonica. I got my 12-sided die, and I'm ready to roll with a wizard and my goblin crew. My friends are coming over to my mom's basement, bringing Funyuns and the Mountain Dew. I got a big broadsword made out of cardboard, and that stereo's a pumping Zeppelin. It's that time of the night, we turn on the black light. Let the Dungeons and the Dragons begin. It's D&D, fighting with the legends of yore. It's D&D. Never kissed a lady before. Nope.
Woo! There's another thing that I could use. Hello. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 95.
Wow.
And this is going to be a short one today. So I'm going to call it a short one.
Okay.
Because I'm tired.
Can the subtitle be a tribute to Gary Gygax?
No.
Oh.
Why? Is he dead?
Is he dead? Are you kidding me?
I'm just kidding. I know he's dead.
It depends. How many spells do you have left today?
Let me tell you something. The funniest thing to come out of Gary Gygax's death.
Yeah.
Gary E. Gygax, whatever it was.
It's E, yeah. Gary E.
Is the fact that his creative partner said that he was very upset at the passing and stuff, and I've never heard of that guy.
Who, Dave Arneson?
Arneson, yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard of the guy.
He's one half, man.
Have
yeah,
you
he's,
ever, have
he's the other half.
Did you, be honest, did you know about him before today?
I knew that there was another half. I didn't know that it was Dave Arneson.
I did not know that, and I have been playing D&D since 1979.
But as soon as I got the text messages that said Gygax is dead that day, I knew exactly what it was. So if someone had sent me a message that said Arneson is dead,
nobody would have cared.
I wouldn't have known.
Exactly. It wouldn't have been in the news.
Right.
No one would
care. Maybe because Gygax was such a...
Maybe because
he was
his
such a
name,
public figurehead.
His name was on all the books.
Well,
I don't remember Arneson.
I think he also was a very public figurehead too.
All right,
he went to all the cons.
Just saying.
He was very personable, from what I understand.
I never met the dude.
I never had the opportunity either. I'm kind of upset now.
I am too,
knowing now that he passed at the young age of 69.
69 is not young.
Nowadays, it's young. That's practically barely old.
We should say that Dungeons and Dragons, which I'm sure now will be dedicated to Gary.
I'm sure.
Fourth edition is looming large upon us, and in the coming weeks, we will have a report on the changes you can expect in your Dungeons and Dragons fourth edition rule set by one Mycobus Prime.
There you go.
And we will be also talking about our D&D game. The one we're running here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we will be playing in the Eberron fantasy setting, which I happen to think is maybe the best fantasy setting ever.
Did you know that Gary Gygax appeared on an episode of Futurama as himself?
Yeah, I remember that.
Must have missed that episode.
I'm not sure, but I think it was the head of Gary Gygax.
Oh, is it one of the heads?
One of those
I
things.
That would make sense.
You know what's really funny about Futurama and heads? See how we're going all over the place? The Zap Brannigan action figure is out now with the head of Richard Nixon.
See, that's funny.
See, I don't have him yet, but and it's Toynami, so who knows. But bringing it all back. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening in D&D. I think it's really cool, and I think we could possibly be on the precipice, if you will, of a resurgence of D&D, just pure D&D. I think this fourth edition the fourth edition that's coming is probably going to be very instrumental in that. Fantastic is flipping through right now. One of the two, this is unprecedented also, they've released two preview books. Yes.
Now, in years past, you're saying it's unprecedented that they've released two preview books. In editions past, the only thing I really remember being released preview-wise prior to the Player's Guide, which is traditionally the launch of the new editions, would be like the Conversion Guide.
Right.
Right. Normally, the Conversion Guide is released early, and like that's like a freebie giveaway at like your local comics retailer.
I think this is such a humongous undertaking. The way that they are steering the direction of the game now and the play, that they felt the need to release not one, but two.
Okay.
Of these preview guides, they're $20 a piece.
Wow.
Fantastic is looking at Worlds and Monsters.
It's pretty.
There's also a second one. Races and Classes.
Right.
And you're getting an overview in essay format, short essays by the people who are working on the development team. And there's, you know, over at Wizards of the Coast, there's dozens of people working on these on this edition.
Sure.
And I think it's very exciting. The artwork, the ideas that they're talking about, why they're doing some things, why they're not doing other things. It's really fascinating. It's a fascinating read. You can check them out yourself. D&D, what's it again, Mr. Fantastic? D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, Wizard Presents Worlds and Monsters. The second one is Races and Classes.
And these are available for sale at your local games retailer?
Right. Sir? Local games retailers should have them. You might be able to get them online, I'm sure, at Amazon. Sure. And when fourth edition comes, we will be at the forefront of bringing you the news about 4th edition. I'm very excited about that. As well as other releases in the D&D universe, such as Eberron, and you'll be following, hopefully, to some extent, our campaign here that we have going on Geek Stuff.
I don't want to spoil it for Mike of his prime, because I want to learn more about the details that he's able to dredge up, but I heard some of the YouTube Wizards on YouTube at the Dungeons & Dragons Experience over the weekend. And you're right. I'd say it's a return to pure Dungeons & Dragons. And they're not sitting back for this one. They're not just going to print the books. It's a four-pronged assault on the gaming industry. And,
yes.
That's good to see.
Yeah, actually, I've heard this. And fantastic. We can actually expound on this just for another minute. I don't want to take up a lot of time, because when Mike of his prime reports to us, he'll have a lot more to report. There is a humongous online component to the fourth edition
that works with your actual gaming experience.
Yes, it's incredible. I got it explained to me just in the briefest terms.
That makes me a little
no, not gaming experience. You're not going online and playing the game. However, you will have available to you innumerable resources,
so errata and stuff like that.
Yes, and as well as versions of the books that you purchase. I guess maybe you'll enter a code and you'll be able to get that book, or you register, you sign up. There may be some kind of like a basic service which everybody can get, and then maybe a little advanced one where you'll be able to get the books, and they'll be searchable, like to the page.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like incredible stuff that the people over at Wizards of the Coast were describing to me.
Yeah, like I said, I really want to get Mikey's take on it, but the preliminary news, in my mind, the quick review is that it's going to be good. It looks good.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. I'm so excited, in fact. I've already begun to think how we are going to have a second D&D game that will be involved in 4th edition, because the game we're preparing to play now in Eberron will not be 4th edition. So,
right.
But I already have some exciting ideas.
Okay.
Cool, we probably should move ahead into the news.
We should move ahead, because we have some news.
We do.
Not a lot,
no,
but we have some. You know, after doing a three-hour show.
And what's left?
It's scarce pickings.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about Starship Troopers.
Okay.
The third movie coming direct to DVD soon. Now, I don't know. I didn't remember there being a second movie. I remember the Roughnecks. that came out on DVD, the animated, which were those, the animated
they
ones.
Were fantastic.
But I didn't remember the second movie.
The second movie
Heroes
was...
Heroes of the Federation, apparently.
Yeah, it was not. It was not a war movie. It was more like an alien movie where it was a bunch of people and they were trapped with a couple of bugs or something like that.
It's very, very dark.
Yeah. Okay.
I have it... Yeah, I have it, and
in one of your special editions. Fantastic!
I tried to play through it, and you know, real quick, just scrub through it and see what it looks like. And it's like 95% black.
Oh, the whole all movie. Right. I never, like I said, I didn't see it, so I'm gonna have to go with you. But this one is gonna be called Marauders. It marks the returns of Casper Van Dien's Johnny Rico character,
Juanito,
and it also is gonna have Jolene Blaylock, whom you may remember from Enterprise, playing a character Lola Beck. She was the, wasn't she the Vulcan?
Yes.
The female Vulcan?
Yeah. The very hot female Vulcan.
Yeah, so.
She's aight.
Right, so she's coming back, and or she's joining the franchise, and this will be direct to DVD, so there's something shocking. Let's talk a little bit about Freddie Highmore.
Okay.
Do you know who Freddie Highmore is?
Yes, Freddie is the young man who portrayed Peter.
Correct.
In Finding Neverland.
Right.
And he also was in the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Correct.
And he was also Charlie in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
And he's going to be Astro Boy in the new CG animated Astro Boy movie coming out from, I believe it's Imagi that's doing
that. He's going to be the voice?
Yes, he's going to be the voice of Astro Boy.
How very interesting.
So, I don't know. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. I've always kind of liked Astro Boy. I'm like a fringe Astro Boy fan.
Right.
So, I'm looking to that. I like Freddie Highmore, too. I mean, I liked him in Finding Neverland and Wonka. I didn't see Spiderwick yet, but
I'm
sure
either.
That I'll check it out. I want to check it out. Yes. I know that our good friend Puppet Disaster has been really pushing it, and he keeps telling me that I should watch it. So,
Spiderwick? You
know, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So based on his recommendation, I will give it a look-see when I get the opportunity. But yeah, Freddie Highmore, gonna be Astro Boy. So there it is.
Let's talk about some DVD releases this week. Into the Wild, directed by Sean Penn, tells the story of a young man, Christopher McCandless. It's actually based on a true story, who abandons his life of comfort to pursue freedom and life on the road in the Alaskan wilderness. And apparently it's a really beautiful, touching, freaky out kind of film, starring Speed Racer himself, Emil Hirsch.
Well, look at that.
Yes, that's exciting. Walt Disney's 101 Dalmatians 2-disc Platinum Edition. This is the first time out of the Disney vault this decade.
I have to get that. I still haven't gotten Aristocats yet. I'm behind.
I just always find that anything about the Disney vault is hysterical.
I don't remember 101 ever being out on DVD originally, but I guess it was one of those early editions that I missed.
Right. It's an all-new digital restoration. And
it's pretty.
Yeah, really, apparently. And, of course, there is the usual load of special of features. So you'll want to check that out. The complete Ben 10 season 3.
Wow.
Is out. Wow. And which is odd for me because I don't think I have season 2.
Is this before the name change?
I think so. I think season 4 actually denotes the name change of Ben. It's we found out what it
Bennett was. Bennett is Friends or something.
No,
something
it's
silly like that.
Ben 10 Space Adventure.
Oh, is that whatever it is.
But this is season 3, which is odd because I thought it was season 2, which means I've missed season 2. I'll have to find it now. But season 3 of a really interesting cartoon. Very well done. Young man has some gear, turns him into all these monsters. It's a really, really interesting cartoon. And I can't say that about a lot of the crap that's being put out these days, but this is some good shit.
I'll add that up there with Avatar for you then. Avatar and Ben 10. There's your two cartoons that you talk about that you like.
Avatar The Last Airbender?
Yes.
I did like that cartoon.
I know.
I don't own any of those.
I'm not knocking you.
I wonder. Anyway. And finally, I have to mention the deluxe collection, Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who.
Now, I'm sure that this is because the CGI fancy schmancy movie is coming out shortly. I believe that's only a few mere weeks
away.
Well,
let me tell you why this is very special.
Okay.
Not only is it Horton Here's a Who.
Right.
You get a couple of more animated stories. Daisy Head Maisie.
Uh-huh.
Horton Hatches the Egg.
Right.
And the very controversial Butter Battle.
Ooh, I like the Butter Battle.
I know. Butter Battle about nuclear war. One of the last ones he wrote. And animated here on it. There's also documentaries, some sing-alongs. This is a very good product here.
What was that Dr. Seuss animated short with the two guys, the one guy that only walked north and the other one that only walked south, and eventually they walked into each other and neither would take a step to either side?
So don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. Though, right? They've just released
Has
another...
Has that ever been on DVD? Do you know?
I don't know. There was just another collection released, however. They released a two-pack, I guess, in conjunction with this, the live-action Mike Myers Cat in the Hat, and a collection of four Dr. Seuss animated pieces, including the one I remember for sure is Green Eggs and Ham.
See, I might have to. I don't think I own Green Eggs and Ham right yet. So actually, it might be with Green Eggs and Ham because I always remember that airing together when right I saw it on TV.
It might be part of that collection that's just been released. I don't know, but I'm definitely going to. I didn't pick that up this week, but I in lieu of that, I had to get this Horton Hears a Who.
Well, sure.
So that's DVDs for this week.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Cleveland Brown. Do you know who Cleveland Brown is? You're going to say no, but the answer is yes.
Okay, I'll say yes.
Okay. Cleveland Brown is Peter Griffin's friend, his African-American friend.
The one that talks like this.
Yes, on
hey,
Family Guy.
Hey, Peter.
Now, do you know why he's in the news this week?
Yes.
I don't know, so I'd like to know.
Because
I really
Fox
don't know either. I was
currently looking to give him his own spinoff show.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea.
I know because why. Looking and to, you know why, and everyone in the
They're
room
looking
knows
for
why.
New shows.
They're looking for black shows.
Oh, well, I don't know that that's the answer, but
why
sure
that character then? Why not Quagmire?
See, now Quagmire probably could support his own show. I don't know. I think it's kind of odd to choose
Hey,
Cleveland.
Welcome to the Cleveland show, everybody. Yeah, right. It's not because he's black.
But apparently Fox is doing a bunch of spinoffs. In addition to Cleveland, they're also doing a spinoff of their hit show Prison Break.
Really?
So Fox doing crazy spinoffs. Maybe Roger from American Dad will get his own show at some point.
Is that the little gay alien you
yes
like? With the Paul Lynde
that
voice?
Talks like Paul Lynde, yeah. So there it is.
And that's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
No, silly goose.
More?
Oh, of course there's more. We still haven't talked about Bob Shea.
I know that name.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Bob Shea works for New Line. Fuck the deal with Peter Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Had a kiss and make up.
Right, that Bob Shea.
Yeah, he's not working for New Line anymore.
Oh, really?
No. New Line has been pretty much absorbed by Warner Brothers. It will maintain its little indie banner.
Right.
But it's mainly going to be Warner Brothers now.
Right.
And Bob Shea and Michael Lynn, who were co-chairs and co-CEOs of New Line,
are co-unemployed.
Have chosen to no longer stay with the company, according to the press release by Time Warner, which to me means they was let go.
They was booted.
Of course, they're saying that because of the clusterfuck that was the Golden Compass, Bob Shea, no longer really necessary to New Line.
I don't think clusterfuck is an accurate description of...
Well, box office wise, it was a clusterfuck. I still hear it was a good movie.
Disaster, I heard.
But, well, clusterfuck,
quite,
disaster,
quite
really,
disaster.
You know. They're similar.
Okay.
Speaking of disasters, we have a Dragon Ball Z movie update.
Ooh, the one they're forcing me to see by putting Chow Yun-Fat in it.
Ernie Hudson has been cast in it.
Right from one end of the spectrum to the other.
That's terrible.
What does Ernie Hudson have to do with this movie?
Nobody knows what he's been cast as. Now, I have some familiarity with the Dragon Ball Z universe.
Yeah.
There are many aliens involved in the universe.
Okay.
They come in different shapes and sizes. There are a few humans in the universe, all white.
Okay.
Don't know where Ernie Hudson's going to fit into this little movie that we're calling Dragon Ball Z. Of course, he's joining the cast of, as you said earlier, Chow Yun-Fat Justin Chatwin, James Marsters, Emma Rossum, and I don't know, a bunch of others. So I don't know. I'm not sure where Ernie Hudson fits in, but apparently he will be in that film.
Interesting.
So there it is. We also got word this week that there is going to be a fourth Jason Bourne movie. Apparently,
really?
Universal, very happy with the results of the trilogy thus far, and rightfully so.
It stinks.
And they're going to do a fourth movie. I agree that a fourth movie stinks.
Because I just bought the box set of three.
Well, you know, speaking of fourth movies, that old Pirates movie has come up into chats again.
Yeah.
So in addition to
when I see it.
In addition to a fourth Pirates movie, which, as we hear, is supposed to be kind of... there are two rumors. One is that the budget is going to be downsized, and it's going to be a lot more simple, story-focused, and kind of streamlined. The other aspect, or the other rumor, is that it's going to be a huge budget. It's going to be like over-the-top, ultra-fantastical, Jules Verne, kind of like... bizarro crazy, you know. So there's that. So we don't care about that so much. What we do care about, of course, in the realm of Disney, would be the announcement of the 3D sequel in 2011 of guess
3D sequel 2011.
We've been hearing rumors. We've been hearing sequel rumors on this for quite some time.
I needed more info.
Jeff Bridges has most recently come out to talk about it.
Okay. It won't be Tron 2.
They've announced it. 2011, a 3D sequel to Tron.
I don't believe it.
So CGI, it's not going to be under the Pixar banner. More than likely, it'll be under Disney's in-house 3D banner. Same company that did films like Chicken Little.
So it'll be all 3D animated, no live action.
Correct.
That's the only way they can do it.
Well,
because Jeff Bridges,
you know what?
Not really in Tron shape.
Honestly, though, in all seriousness, that might actually be the only way to properly do it and still have it be decent.
Bruce Boxleitner attached?
He was when Jeff Bridges was talking to him a couple months ago. So hopefully Bruce Boxleitner still attached. Maybe even Jeff Bridges doing some voice work. That's probably his involvement would be my guess.
What about, what's her name?
I don't know.
The chick from Caddyshack.
It's still
Cindy
very
Morgan. What's
Cindy
her name?
Morgan. Yeah, it's
Is it
still
Cindy
very.
Morgan?
I think so. It's still very, very loose. But we do know that it's been greenlit for 2011.
Wow.
In addition to that, Disney announced Cars 2 and National Treasure 3.
Wow, exciting!
Woo!
Comics to check out this week. Scud, the Disposable Assassin, number 22. This is the second of the four-part conclusion of the series. 10 years after its initial run, Rob Schrab is continuing to finish the series with issue 22 here. It's very exciting. Justice League, the New Frontier special. We talked about this with Darwin Cook in episode 94, live on XM. And this is a bunch of untold tales from the New Frontier story arc, if you will, as well as the making of the animated film, behind-the-scenes storyboard, and exclusive artwork, all within a great deal at the $4.99 price tag. Overall, it's been such a terrific project, and this just continues the tradition. And I hope this is not... This whole crisis business is not the end of this world, because I certainly would like to read more stories about this particular universe. That's what I'm hoping.
Mr. Fantastic, do you have any idea what My Network TV is? Have you heard of this?
Probably a little Trinitron 30-inch.
No, I'm serious. Have you heard? Is this like an online network, or is it? Have you heard anything at all? Apparently, it's going to be the new home of WWE SmackDown. As we know, SmackDown left the CW on January 31st.
Left is kind of you.
Yeah, and World Wrestling Entertainment has announced that they will team up with My Network TV to air and produce the popular WWE SmackDown television show. But I don't know, or nor can I find really what My Network TV is.
I don't know the answer to this one, Matt.
When I first read it, I thought maybe it was like an online venue.
No, I think that this could possibly be an existing station or two that have been renamed, but I'm not sure. Give me a sec. I'll look it up. All guys can carry forth, and I'll take a look.
Well, while we're talking about that, the other big WWE news, of course, is the upcoming WrestleMania, in which we have Floyd Mayweather Jr. going against The Big Show. Is this now the second time that a boxer is going to get in the ring? Well, a fake boxer? How many times is a real boxer?
First of all, he's a real boxer.
He's a real boxer.
Yeah.
Who else? Was it Holyfield? Did Holyfield?
Muhammad Ali. Tyson.
Tyson
did not
though.
Wrestle. He was a ref.
He was a ref. Muhammad Ali was...
Muhammad Ali fought a Japanese wrestler.
Really?
Name I can't remember. And it was an exhibition, and all I remember about it is that he never got up. The wrestler guy stayed on the floor, like literally laying on the floor, kicking at Ali with his feet.
Oh, Jesus. Puss.
Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name, too. He had a weird name.
Well...
But no, I think there's other, they had that whole brawl for it all or whatever that brawl thing is that they were boxing. Remember Butterbean?
Oh yeah. I remember Butterbean was involved.
Bart Gunn won the thing and then went on to like his first something or other match and got knocked the fuck out in like the first 2 seconds or something by Butterbean or something like that. But there's been crossover in the past. I don't think it's a great surprise. I think it's a great surprise that Floyd Mayweather is
teeny tiny.
Tiny. And the Big Show's hand apparently is as big as Mayweather's head.
You could see that just in the commercial. If you've seen the commercials on TV promoting WrestleMania, his hand is like, I'd be like ripping a softball.
Yeah, well, WrestleMania should be interesting, I suppose. When is WrestleMania?
March something or other? No. Is it March?
Yeah.
March 30th? March 23rd? Something.
Oh,
like
okay.
That. It's coming up. It's a few scant weeks away.
Will that be after our appearance at Monster Mania?
If it's either of those weekends, then yes.
I think
March 30th it is in Orlando, Florida, and it will be after our Monster Mania appearance.
Monster Mania, I think, is the...
2 weeks away, I think, isn't it? 12th, 13th, and 14th or
something like
that.
It's that weekend, folks, if you're looking it up. Hey, you want more information about Monster Mania? Go over to monstermania.net. Monstermania.net.
It's actually the 14th, 15th, and 16th of March is Monster Mania.
Monstermania.net. They have a ton of guest stars coming. Unbelievable, including Bruce Campbell.
Ooh, wow.
And others.
That's who I'm looking forward
to. Yes, and we will be there. We'll be appearing there. We'll be there at least Friday and Saturday. I'm not sure about Sunday, if we'll be there on Sunday or not yet. I can't say at this point.
Fantastic. Do you have an update for us?
Now, Matt, I haven't watched TV in a good month or so.
Okay.
Honestly, I watched Lost. That's all.
Okay.
But I've also not been watching My Network TV, which is a Fox-owned News Corp company that has such shows as Celebrity Exposé, Control Room Presents, Decision House, Jail, Meet My Folks. I've never heard of any of these
shows. Neither have I.
I don't even know what numbered channel this is on my cable company's
tuner. I wonder if it's even available with my cable company.
I don't know, but I'm not a big TV watcher.
Okay,
so
it's Fox-owned, which is,
it is
I guess,
a Fox
the
channel.
Most important Fox. Thing to know about it. So there it is.
Funko. Funko.com, FUNKO.com, has put out a pair of new Star Wars items that we want to tell you about. It's the Utapau Clone Trooper bobblehead. And this one is actually an Action Figure Express exclusive. You can check it out at shopafx.com, the Uaptu. Series 1 of the bobbleheads included Clone Trooper, Darth Vader, Yoda, Boba Fett, Greedo, Han Solo, Stormtrooper, Gamorrean Guard, and Vader's TIE Fighter. How'd they make that a bobblehead?
I have no idea.
Also,
it's a bobble fighter.
A bobble fighter. Yes, okay. The Shadow Stormtrooper is the other one. The Shadow, of course, is just the jet black regular Stormtrooper. Bobblehead from Funko. Want to bring those to your attention, you Imperial lovers. None of those in this room.
You're sick, sir.
I'm not sick. You see it starting to come together.
I see it looks nice, though.
Just saying. Studio A's going to look very nice with the new Imperial Army display in it.
Okay.
Just saying.
After turning to nothing but Jesus writing 4 years ago, Vampire Chronicles author Anne Rice is going to do one more Lestat book. somehow it's going to be religiously based. I don't know if you knew about this, but Anne Rice kind of decided she wasn't going to write these dark, gruesome, scary, creepy kind of books anymore. And she was going to turn to like the lives of Jesus and all these religious themed writings. And somehow she has made the decision to go back and do one more book about Lestat. So fans of those books, you should be happy.
Yes, and I understand that if they make a movie, it will be played, Lestat will be played by one Danny Glover.
Okay.
So that he can deliver the immortal line, "I'm getting too old for this shit."
Right.
Because enough already.
Hey, you know, she's got rabid fans.
She had rabid fans.
Okay.
When she was writing books that people read. Nobody read those other books. Nobody. Those Jesus books, whatever they were, nobody read them.
Okay.
They were like the sequel to Aragon. They were just shit.
All right. Why don't we move on to a little bit of video game news?
Ooh, I like this.
Since we got such rave reviews after episode 94.
After Starman's report?
After Starman's riveting report.
Riveting.
You guys being wise asses?
No. It was a wonderful report. We had a great dialogue about next generation gaming and technology.
You, me, and OG. Oh, yeah, and Starman
that's not nice.
I'm just saying.
He did a fine job for us, that Starman.
Kevin, just keep in mind, I will punch you in the face on his behalf.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's talk about...
I don't see any can of fucking creatine juice in your hand today.
He had it before he came.
So video games, Maddie.
Let's talk about the new upcoming first-person shooter, Aliens, Colonial Marines.
Okay.
This is coming out late 2008 for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows-based PC platforms.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know, OG, that you are able to check out images from the upcoming Aliens game in Game Informer magazine?
Wow, that's pretty.
What issue is that? Fantastic.
Oh, man. This is issue 179, the March 2008 issue. They have the world exclusive of Aliens Colonial Marines.
So I'm guessing that article tells you that the game will feature a story-driven single-player mode as well as a four-player cooperative mode that allows each player in the group to have a unique role in completing the missions. And then there's been some talks about additional multiplayer roles being revealed later in the year, probably through some sort of, you know, upgrade, expansion, download type of deal.
Well, it looks,
be my guess.
It looks pretty. You know, it really does look, looks like it has potential.
It's kind of dark and gruesome and brooding and claustrophobic and creepy with aliens and a ton of weapons.
Now, most licenses that are based on movies have terrible track records when it comes to video games.
Right.
But Aliens is kind of the exception to that rule because there was Aliens versus Predator for Jaguar.
Right.
There's Alien 3 for the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. Slightly different games, although both pretty good. The Super Nintendo one was really good in my mind. And there was also Capcom's arcade Aliens.
I believe that
was also Aliens versus Predator. And that's also a good game. It's very different in that it's a fighting game, side-scrolling fighting game, but it's also a good game. I'm sure if you go back, there's some other good ones. But this one, I hope it's good. It's probably going to be good if based on the other games that were made.
It looks pretty nice.
The design looks really nice. I mean, I hope it holds up to the scrutiny that I'm sure will come attached to it. People have been waiting for this sort of...
Well, any multiplayer first-person shooter, you know what it gets held up against. And, you know, invariably it ends up being put up against Halo.
Right, but specifically for this franchise, you know, there hasn't been a... Are any of these... I guess that one for Jaguar was a first-person shooter, right?
Yeah, it is.
Sorta.
But, you know, that was so early in the first-person shooter development that...
That's pre-GoldenEye and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, going back to play that game now, it's a hard game to play, although a lot of people have good memories of it.
Right.
All right.
Very exciting.
So that would be Aliens Colonial Marines coming out later this year. But I think we have something else to talk about in this video game portion of our news, and that would be... the upcoming, everybody wants it, Grand Theft Auto 4. What's the subtitle of this one, Fantastic?
4.
That's it? No Liberty Streets or Liberty City or whatever the fuck
no,
it was?
No, they are returning to Liberty City, but as far as I know, there is no subtitle.
Oh, okay.
And if you're looking up online or on YouTube, it's Liberty City and it's IV for the Roman numeral. EGM has what they're saying is the exclusive real story you won't read anywhere else. After this episode airs in the RSS, I'm going to read the entire article and record that so you can get it that way as well. They have a large spread in their interview with some of the developers. They go back and they review. They do mention Laszlo's name, although there is not an interview with Laszlo in here. I believe it's Hauser. I forget the guy's first name. Okay, I think it's Sam. And they do a pretty good job of reviewing the game itself. I was never really a big fan of Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
Number one, because of the control. I did like the Grand Theft Auto 1, 2, and London because they were from a different top-down perspective. For Grand Theft Auto 4, however, that's one of the things that they make a point of saying on numerous occasions is that they know that the control has been a little bit iffy in the past, and they're really working on that. If you listen to some of the things that they propose, using the left trigger to lock on to a guy and pushing it down halfway in order to get more of a free third-person aiming mode going, I think they're doing good things with it. Plus, it's going to be more of Grand Theft Auto, so that's always good.
Well, I hear the AI is really amped up.
I'm not allowed to comment.
That's fine. You don't have to. I'm not asking.
I'm not allowed to make any comment.
We're not asking you. It was just a conversation between me and Mr. Fantastic.
You know I'm not allowed to make any comments.
You know who has no AI, Kevin?
I don't need AI because I have I in abundance.
But no, seriously. Like I hear that when you actually attack like a citizen or you try to like carjack him and stuff like that, it's not nearly as easy. They put up a really good fight. They put up a really good chase, mm-hmm. stuff like that. I just hear that it's really a step in the right direction as far as that kind of gritty combat system goes. I hear the car controls are a bit better, a little bit more advanced with like GPS and stuff like that. And
so it's definitely Grand Theft Auto brought into modern times. The art style, the way I look at it, it's rough around the edges, although purposefully.
Yeah,
you know, it's the graphics are, I don't know, I'd say they're not the most detailed graphics, but since a lot goes on when you're playing that game, you need to be able to, you know, be aware of where all the characters are,
right.
and where you're driving and things like that. So they're pretty clear graphics in that regard, but they're a little bit dirty. You know, it's supposed to be, Liberty City is supposed to be kind of a post 9/11 type city,
right
now, and the graphics reflect that.
Good. So I think it's pretty highly anticipated. Probably one of the biggest game releases this year. What is the actual release date on it? Do we have that? I think it's coming up in a few months. I don't think it's that far away. So
I thought it changed recently, but I could be wrong about that.
I don't know, but if you want to read more about it, check out the latest EGM. There's pretty good stuff in there.
IGN.com has some really good articles. Has some really good articles on it as well. Some reviewers over there actually got their hands on a small preview of a small section of the city where they actually got to play, and they talk about their experience playing and some of the features and it's a really good in-depth review. So check out IGN also.
Did they say anything about the cool pedestrian voices?
They do not.
Okay,
no.
They said it's more satisfying than ever to kill the pedestrians, but they don't really know why yet.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think that's true, Fantastic. I think you made that up.
I think we could take a break.
All right.
Matt, I just got a brand new 2-pound bag of Jelly Belly jelly beans. They come in 49 flavors, all of which I'm going to read for you right now. Berry Blue, Blueberry, Bubblegum.
Jelly Belly is the original gourmet jelly bean. A fat-free candy with only 4 calories per bean.
Cotton candy, A&W cream soda, crushed pineapple, Dr. Pepper.
You can go to jellybelly.com to find recipes on how to combine your favorite Jelly Bellies to come up with new and exciting flavors, like mud pie and berry smoothie.
Margarita, orange juice, orange sherbet, peach, peanut butter, pina colada, pink grapefruit, plum, raspberry.
And with Easter just around the corner, now is the perfect time to get Jelly Bellies for your entire family.
Strawberry daiquiri, strawberry jam, tangerine, toasted marshmallow, top banana.
That's Jelly Belly, the original gourmet jelly bean.
Jelly Bellies, available at a store near you.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
I wanna rock and roll all night.
Now Tack's a real bastard, but a fair dungeon master. He's got hit points and charisma to lend. And I rehearse in my room, or what I call the dragon's tomb, when I'm out with my girlfriend. It's D&D.
Wait. Sorry. You got a girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a... No. It's D&D.
And we're back, gentlemen.
Ooh, we're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 95. I'm OG. That's Big Kev. Mr. Fantastic. You have an update for us?
The 29th of April in the year 2008, according to Wikipedia, is the release date of Grand Theft Auto 4.
In the year 2008.
So get ready to line up at midnight now, folks. April 29th, 2008, Grand Theft Auto 4. All right, so there it is. What do we have this segment? Something new? Something exciting? Something different?
Well, of course, there's always a ton of fine products coming to you from Sideshow.
There
collectibles.
Is.
And we are going to talk about Sideshow's latest Star Wars releases.
Well, let's do that.
Let's open with their latest 12-inch line piece, which is actually two pieces.
And that's a pretty piece at that.
It certainly is. It's
ginormous, though.
It's the Chancellor Palpatine Darth Sidious 2-pack.
It's like a Nutrisystem commercial. It's before and after.
Right. So you get both 12-inch figures of Palpatine and Sidious, which is, I guess, him after the fact, right? After his brutal attack.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's all has claws and wrinkly face.
That butthead looking thing.
Right. They come with the usual accessories, lit lightsabers, unlit lightsabers.
Interchangeable hands.
Right. Cloth. Clothing, fully featured articulated body, and of course the one of the best parts about the Sideshow 12-inch line, as we say over and over again, the packaging.
Perfect for display.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect for displaying. It has the magnetic seal on the side. You open it up. There's two separate compartments that slide out. You could actually take the figure out, display them if you wanted them out of the package, and then put him back in if you wanted to display him inside. And there's plenty of material, written material, flavor text.
We like the flavor text.
Yes. In here, as well as photographs. It overall is just a fantastic piece. And it's only $120. Retails for about $120. $119.99.
And if I remember correctly, it was a limited edition, limited exclusive piece. Wasn't it like 200 pieces, I think it was?
There is always a limited edition version.
Okay. But I think this one was limited to 200 pieces, though.
No, there's a limited edition version, sir.
Okay.
I don't know that this is the limited edition. There is a regular version and a limited edition version.
I thought the regular version was limited to 200 pieces. I'm sorry.
I don't believe you're right, sir. I believe the limited edition. You better stop saying, sir. You're going to piss off that guy.
Oh, yeah. Sir, Andrew, it's unintentional. I apologize.
Sir.
No, I'm not saying it. I got the patch on now. I'm going to put it on.
This is the regular edition,
okay,
which I'm sure is limited.
Right.
But there is a limited edition that is even more limited.
Okay.
I think. You can go over to SideshowToy.com.
That's where you can get all of your
answers.
And
you can check out anything that we may have excluded from this conversation.
Right. Or got wrong, really.
Right. And I'll tell you again, I want to press a point. I want to press the point home that the packaging here is exquisite, just an exquisite design, packaging wise, and the magnetic
seal
is just awesome.
Okay,
awesome.
Well, this is all Star, or we said this is all Star Wars, right? So what's next up
we
on
did.
The plate?
Well, I want to stay in the realm of 12-inch figures.
Okay, let's do that. Now, this is actually a Mediacom Real Action Hero piece. I think that we're getting ready to look at. Is that correct?
Yes, it's actually imported by Sideshow.
Right.
It has a Velcro seal, not the magnetic seal. Done
no,
by
but
Sideshow.
Still nice.
Still nice. Window box. This is Jango Fett.
That's a nice figure.
And it
sir.
Is maybe one of the nicest 12-inch figures I have ever seen of anything ever.
I mean, it is really exquisite looking.
Right. You know, Hasbro did a 12-inch version of this character with all sorts of
bells and whistles.
And this version is just fantastic. And let me tell you, I'm going to say this. At $149.99, It had better be the best piece ever. And let me tell you something. Spot on likeness.
Right.
Of Jango Fett. Spot on. Everything is perfect. These limited edition Mediacom pieces, you know, a lot of people say, you know, maybe they're a little high on the price side.
But they're pretty.
But they're worth it. That's the point of it,
though. I've been a fan of Mediacom Real Action Heroes since that Jack Bauer figure came
out. Yeah, exactly.
However many years ago that was.
And this is just a continuation of their incredible work that they're doing on these Star Wars pieces. Well, absolutely incredible.
Mediacom Real Action Heroes, strive for excellence. Sideshow, strive for excellence. Makes sense that they're in bed together.
It is a good combination. So it's Jango Fett. You want to check him out again, sideshowtoy.com. You'll have all the information. He has his two guns, a removable helmet, so you can see the spot-on likeness.
Now, does the head also remove?
if
you wanted to stuff it inside of the helmet,
I don't think
so. Now, see? That's the feature that these things are missing.
That kind of removable Luke hand figure.
That kind of realism
feature
is what I want in my Jango Fett figure. Although I do like it, I'm not going to lie.
And here's a piece that I was very excited that they were doing, and now it's here.
Okay.
And I couldn't be more pleased. It's the first in there, in what I hope will be an ongoing series of Star Wars dioramas.
Right.
By Sideshow.
Yes.
And this one is Look, Sir, Droids.
Also, that it really is a great piece. Now, this is it's a desert scape on Tatooine. Right.
Right. It's five sand troopers.
Right.
And they are around the escape pod.
Right.
And one of them is holding up the little ring, which somehow indicates that droids were on board. That always bugged the hell out of me.
It senses,
Look, Sir, Droids. This is droid shit. Like, how do they know that a droid has been here? Why couldn't this just be some metal bit some dude dropped? Like
he dropped it off his droid.
I know. Like, or something. Like, why couldn't it have just fallen off the...
The question I have about this piece is, in the original version of this film, you know, pre-special edition, weren't there only two troopers? So is this like the special edition diorama?
No. There were
only two.
No, there were more.
There were five?
Yeah.
I don't remember five.
Yeah, there were a bunch, actually. All right. No, I'm not. That's not in question. I think, and it's funny, they have the little footprints walking away.
Right.
From the pod, which it's, I think, is
3PO's
very cute.
Footprints.
And little, yeah, and little tracks. And which you presume are R2's little wheel tracks there. It's really well
done. That's how they know they're droids.
I don't know what scale this would be exactly, but the dudes are tiny. So,
three quarter? The bigger than three quarter?
No, it's smaller.
It's smaller than three quarters?
I think so, yeah.
All right.
Wait, hold on. Let's put the show on hold for a second while we just get it opened up.
So we're back from being on hold, having now examined the piece more closely. Kev, what is the verdict on the scale?
I'm saying, well, the dudes are like 2 inches.
Okay.
So I don't know how that translates to scale.
You have a train scale that would fit in?
Like Lionel. Like okay. Lionel. It's close. It's maybe a little bit tinier than Lionel scale.
Okay.
Dudes are about 2 inches. So if 3 3/4 was 1 1/4 more, and that's one... No. If they're 2 inches, it's a third of 1/6 scale, right?
Okay.
Is it 1/18?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that how that works?
I think so.
Because if it's 1/6 scale...
I'm not good at the math.
It's a good fucking piece.
That's what it is.
2-inch, like little 2 inches, 2-inch dudes, two or so inch dudes. They're fully detailed. They're fully rendered.
Right. And at $80.
And the price point is fantastic. $70.
Oh, $70.
Yeah, $69.99. And worth every penny.
Every single penny. Again, you can check this out at SideshowToy.com. SideshowToy.com. Hopefully the first in many Star Wars diorama. You know, they've done very well with the dioramas based on other licenses in the past. So I can't imagine anything Star Wars related, especially coming from Sideshow, would be a bust.
And how cool is it, the first one out of the gate? trooper.
Right. Which really just adds on to the you're fucked theory for the year 2008.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem.
Did we mention that on the show?
I don't know if we did.
And during the Hasbro segment?
We might not have.
I think we did.
I think we did.
I don't think there's any point in driving it home again. We're all aware of the fact that between Hasbro and every other company that's putting out Star Wars product this year, the amount of trooper or trooper-related pieces is just absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
And
you know what else is phenomenal?
And to quote OG, Kev, you are fucked.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yes.
But at least I'm focusing now.
You are focusing, and I'm proud of you.
And you know, that's not kind of a, I got to have everything.
They need to come out with little dolls that are ADD-based.
Yeah, they probably, what you call it, probably has one.
I'm talking about those.
Accoutrements.
I'm just saying, right.
Accoutrements.com.
They might, the ADD child or something.
They had something. It wasn't ADD, it was it was obsessive compulsive.
Oh, was it OCD?
Yeah, they had an obsessive compulsive dude.
Okay.
Had like gloves and mask.
Why don't we take a break?
And then come back with the wrap-up.
With the wrap-up.
This is a short one.
That's right.
Episode 95, a short one.
A tribute to Gary Gygax.
He wasn't short.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule. You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Hey, this is Aaron Douglas, Chief Tyrell from Battlestar Galactica. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 95, a short one. To follow up our big three-hour XM extravaganza,
this past week.
And what did we talk about on this short episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about
Starship Troopers.
Pirates of the Caribbean 4, Tron 2, and Freddie Highmore in Astro Boy.
Yes, we also talked about Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who Deluxe Collection on DVD with some with three additional Dr. Seuss animated features. The complete Ben 10 Season 3, which means I missed Season 2, and that's disturbing. The Walt Disney Company presents 101 Dalmatians 2-disc Platinum Edition, which you've been waiting for, and the Sean Penn written and directed by, screenplay and directed by, Into the Wild, which is a 2-disc collector's edition featuring never-before-seen footage as well.
We also talked about Bob Jay is looking for a job. Cleveland Brown is getting his own show.
Maybe.
And Winston Zeddemore, now an anime guy.
That's weird. Comics to check out this week. Justice League, the New Frontier special includes never-before-told stories from that universe, as well as a sort of making of the feature film that we talked about in episode 94, and Scud, the disposable assassin number 22. This is part two of the four-part series finale going on by Rob Schrab 10 years after the original book.
Anne Rice returns to the Vampire Chronicles with Lestat Lives, and some boxer dude that's way too small gets in a ring with a big guy.
Oh, yeah, for WrestleMania. I forgot about that. Funko. Funko.com has brought us two new Star Wars bobbleheads, the Shadow Trooper and the Awaptu Clone Trooper.
We talked a little bit about some video game news, Aliens, Colonel Marines, the first-person shooter coming out later this year, in addition to Grand Theft Auto 4, which we presume is April 29th, 2008.
We also talked about legendary creator Gary Gygax, creator of D&D, passing away, and teasing you about our coverage of D&D 4th Edition. Two supplements you can check out, preview-type books that are out now, and more to come, including our more detailed analysis of Eberron campaign setting as we play through it ourselves.
And we'll also reveal the secret of who is Dave Arneson.
Yes, the much maligned Dave Arneson. In our second segment tonight, we we are talking about fine sideshow product. In this time, it's all about Star Wars. We talked about the latest addition to the 12-inch line, the Palpatine / Sidious 2-pack.
Right.
Incredible packaging, incredible figures, slide-out trays. You can take them out. You can keep them in. They're both display very nicely, either in or out of the package. We talked about the Mediacom Real Action Heroes Jango Fett, one of the best 12-inch figures I've ever seen, ever. And finally, the first in what we hope will be a series of Star Wars dioramas, Luxor Droids, it's called, 5 Stormtroopers at the escape capsule of 3PO and R2. Absolutely incredible piece of sculpted diorama work. I hope this is only the first of many more to come.
And remember, nice things about Sideshow, not because we have to, because we want to.
That's right. Our upcoming appearances include Monster Mania, which is the 14th, 15th, and 16th of March. That's down in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. You can check it out at monstermania.net.
Also coming up, New York Comic Con, April 18th through the 20th. NewYorkComicCon.com for more information on that.
I think it's NY Comic Con.
Oh, I'm sorry. NY Comic Con.
Yeah. Right.
2Cs.com. Some great guests, including us.
Yes,
apparently.
Very true. That's at the Jacob Javits Center.
That's right, in New York City.
And, of course, you can check us out on iTunes, subscribe to us, and leave us a review, right?
And, of course, and don't forget, you could also check us out at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, our home base of operations, and, you know, maybe say something nice about the show.
Picture galleries. Yeah, you can actually comment on the episodes. I've been reading some of those lately. They're very nice. You want to take a minute and let us know that how bad we suck or how bad we didn't suck, right. We'd like to hear about
or fight about it if you want to.
Yes, cool. And by all means, you can leave comments about Starman over there. And I'm just saying you can do it. I'm just not saying you have to.
All right.
And as well as digging each and every episode.
Sure.
You can do that right on our site now, right?
You can.
Coming to this show in the near future, the dreaded and much maligned video segments are going to be coming very soon. We're going to work that out so that after 100, we're going in a new direction.
Now, we're doing some special things for 100. Do we want to talk about that tonight?
No.
Or we want to
save I think
that?
It's too early.
Okay.
I don't think we should tease it yet.
Okay.
Also coming in the near future, Big Kev Eats Stuff.
Okay.
So there's that exciting venture as well. Me and Fantastic and my Liz and a few other special surprise people going to be putting that one together.
And also
much to Fantastic's chagrin.
Chagrin. And also starting next week with next week's episode, episode 96 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Big who?
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Giveaways and contests.
Yes, actually, we're gonna do that right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought we
were going to give away a pair.
Okay.
Of tickets to the New York Comic Con.
Okay.
For the first person who comments on this episode and answers the following trivia question. What does OG stand for?
Ooh.
That's right. OG's nickname, OG, is actually initials for two words. What does OG stand for? The person who knows will get a pair of weekend passes to New York Comic Con. And the second, that is provided by New York Comic Con, by
of
the
course.
Way. And we love those guys over
we
there.
We do love them.
And the runner-up. So there's an actual answer, and then the funniest answer
okay.
that is not actually correct will win a special prize from our friends at QMX.
Wow.
Yes, you will either win a Battlestar Galactica dog tag set, or you will win a Serenity Money Pack. Prizes donated to us by our pals at QMX. What's the
website? QuantumMechanics.com. Actually, you can find a banner to their site right on our site.
That's right.
So you're going to have to go there anyway to post your answers.
Absolutely. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Click right on the QMX button banner over there, and they'll bring you right to the site. So let me reiterate the question again. What does OG stand for? The correct answer will win a pair of weekend passes to New York Comic Con, and the runner-up or funniest answer will win either a Serenity Money Pack or a Battlestar Galactica collectible dog tags set.
Shouldn't say runner-up. Should just be funniest. It's two separate ones.
Funniest, then.
Funniest.
Fine.
Okay.
Got anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 95 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff? A short one.
If you're interested in a fascinating career in the game design and development industry, you can take classes under one Dave Arneson at Full Sail University.
Goodbye, Gary.
And on that note, we cue the music.